From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to episode number 23 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and Canuck, Pan, and I have a lot to talk about this week. We are in. When we recorded our last episode, things were still up in the air. But now the Senators have clinched a playoff spot, moved up to 7th in the standings, they were resting, and they're now ready to start the playoffs tomorrow in Montreal. It's EK versus PK. It's Anderson versus Price. It's the Alfie chant versus ole, ole, ole. It's the playoffs. The best part of the hockey season is here. Gents, you ready for this?
La, la, la.
Yeah, what's with the la, la, la? That was Carlson that started it?
Yeah, that's Carlson. I don't remember what he was talking about. I think he was making playoffs and he just hashtagged la, la, la.
I think it was actually in the tweet that he sent on the day that it was announced that he would be playing.
Yes, that's it.
And so F happy.
Yes.
Which everybody took.
Everybody's been using since then. Well, rightly so.
I love this blue Gatorade again. I don't know. That's the only thing I found.
I can tell you that I'm glad we're in. Man, last week was a little
iffy.
A little on your tip of your toes, but everything's good now. And I think we probably, knock on wood, got probably the better matchup compared to Pittsburgh Penguins. So it's going to be exciting. Even. Yeah,
yep, I agree. Well, let's get moving. We got lots to talk about.
Oh, really? Okay. Game on!
We have three games to get through. Game 47 was the Senators. It was supposed to be the second last game of the season, but because one got moved, it's the third last of the games they played. So the Senators at the Capitals. The really important part of this game is Erik Karlsson is back. It was the one that the Senators fans weren't really expecting, but we were awfully glad to see. This game, much like the one that was about a week or 10 days earlier between the Senators and the Capitals, had long stretches of not a whole lot going on. Moments of absolute fantastic play, but an awful lot of not a whole lot going on. The highlights of the first period, there aren't many, but I'd say the big one was that Erik Karlsson got a shot on goal on his first shift. Anderson made a fantastic save on Green after he was set up by Backstrom. Ovechkin breaks his stick cross-checking Erik Karlsson, but got no penalty. That was around the 13-minute mark. And there was a fantastic save by Anderson with about 2 minutes left in the period. At the end of the period, the shots on goal were Senators 7, Caps 10. That's really the whole first period. Nothing more exciting than
so
that.
So the Senators eased Karlsson back in, right? They just gave him a few minutes this game?
Yeah, exactly. At 12 minutes into the first period, Karlsson was leading everybody on both teams with time on ice. So not
well,
so much.
It's not as big of a lead.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, by the way, you notice I cut out the background music in the studio this week. Remember last episode? There's some good background band music going on.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, it's a little quieter.
Yeah, there was a rave going on in the next room last week, and these studio mics are so sensitive. But
those kids of yours, man, I don't know what you're doing with them.
Yeah,
they were just excited. The playoffs are coming.
Oh, okay, they were practicing. That's okay. It is nice to be quieter, though. Appreciate it. Second period opened with the Senators on a power play. And as usual, Tim Peel managed to make things interesting as he had a premature whistle. He was behind the net and couldn't see the puck, so he decided to blow it dead when, in fact, it was in the middle of Greening skates in front of the net. Way to go, Tim Peel. Très fort. 2.5 minutes into the period, Karlsson made a beautiful defensive play in the corner, lobbed it out to Alfie, who streaked down, got a shot on goal, but Neuwirth made the save. There were some serious defensive struggles for the Senators in this period. They were having difficulty clearing the zone on a number of occasions. Just around the 9-minute mark, Turris was slew-footed.
Slew-footed?
Yeah, what's the past tense of slew-foot? Slew-footed by Green and hit his head on the ice. No call. But the important part of the second period, 12 minutes and 35, Silverberg scores. Pan, you have the sound effect for this?
Ooh-ah!
Thank you. With assists to Carlson and McCulloch. So right away, Carlson gets in on the first goal. The rest of the period, more of the same. Not terribly exciting. Not New Jersey Devils boring, but not terribly exciting. Shots on goals, 9 for the Senators and 6 for the Caps. So after 2 periods, they're tied at 16 each. Third period. This is where the Senators kind of poured it on. At the 5 minute and 33 second mark, Neuwirth made a huge save, a couple of huge saves on Silverberg and Greening, and ends up at the bottom of a big pylon in front of the net after a whistle. At this point, the shots are 10-0 for the Senators, 5 minutes into the period. Just a minute later, there was an early whistle that blows play dead after Silverberg has the puck go off his skate, and Cowan gets it and shoots it in the net, but it was already waved off as incidental contact with Neuwirth. No interference penalty, no goalie interference penalty, but it was still waved off as incidental contact. 8.5 minutes into the game, Ovechkin scores to tie the game after a massive hit on Neil earlier in the same shift. He really, I don't watch all that many Washington games, but he really does take really long shifts. Holy cow. But he scored to tie the game.
He usually plays the full 2 minutes on a power play or darn near.
Yeah. Exactly. It's crazy. At just around the 10-minute mark during a stoppage in play, Chris Cuthbert takes the time to say that the Sens have had some really good young players so far this season. Okay, that's good. And then manages to ruin the compliment by saying, just like the Leafs have had some great young players have been playing really well this season too. Well, why would we care about the Leafs? This isn't a Leafs broadcast. Way to go, Toronto Sports Network. At the 13-minute mark, Gonchar was robbed by Neuwirth. It was a fantastic save because he had a really, really good opportunity there. 18-minute mark, Anderson gets caught out of place, and there was a great block by Kondra to force a faceoff. And at the 19-minute mark, Ribeiro decides, just after the 19-minute mark, Ribeiro decides to go tough guy after a whistle. And that was a double minor, was it not?
No, it's just one.
Just a single minor? Okay.
Yeah, I carried two.
That's right. Sorry, I wrote it down. Thank you. just over 30 seconds left in the period, Torres rings one off the post, but as usual for the Senators, it goes post and out.
Okay, so put that into post.
Yeah. There we go. Shots on goal for this period would be 23 for the Senators for a total of 39, and the Caps had 4 for a total of 20. Overtime, one big important thing happened in overtime, and that would be Gonchar scores 47 seconds in on a power play goal because Ribeiro was still in the box with assists to Carlson and Alfredson. Final score, 2-1.
Did you see that celebration by Mark Methot?
That was awesome. That was fantastic.
That was awesome.
Well, like, that's a guy who's really, really jacked up about this. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, he only had that one playoff round where they got swept too, right? With Columbus.
Oh,
that's right.
That's it.
Yeah, he hasn't had a lot of playoff experience, so he's pretty jacked about getting in with this team.
By the way, guys, you remember a couple episodes we had the Maple Whiskey promotion? Well, tonight is the Patron coffee liqueur tequila promotion night.
No.
Just a heads up.
Okay, so coffee tequila for Canuck. That's good. I'm on water. Fantastic. All right, so that's game 47. Game 48 was Saturday, April 27th. That was the Flyers. It was the last home game of the season. Flyers at the Senators. Pan, you have the recap for this one.
Don't drag it out.
I won't. Not only that, I forgot to write down what the score was. 2-1 loss. Anyway, so Cassian in, Guy's out. They wanted more of a physical presence on this game. It makes sense against Flyers. Mason was in, Breeze was out. Big surprise. I don't think he's going to be playing up here anyway. Breakdown early in the Sens defensive zone. Local boy Akison gets his first NHL goal. It's a pretty good move there, too, and not Couturier. What's Giroux? I think he set him up. It's nice pass. What else happens? There's an empty net rebound that's cleared out by Methot on a big chance there. Then off he gets picked for drawing an interference penalty. Second period. See, I go quite fast on this. I barely pay attention, though. Conacher stands up to Rosehill. That was impressive. Conacher's probably about the size of Rosehill's arm. And he didn't care. I love this kid.
Did they actually go, or were they just, you know, tussling in the corner? Rosehill, I didn't see this game. I was up fishing.
Okay. Rosehill is pushing him around. Conacher just stood up to him. Then Rosehill took a 2 minute for roughing.
Okay, good.
It was great draw and not turtling, which is fantastic. All right, so we get on the board. Turris! So that's from Phillips and Elfie. Greiba has an absolutely huge hit, and I just love our defense. These guys are monsters. Connor with his best hockey play of the year, a smart hooking penalty. After a soft Turris play that gets intercepted there. What the hell? Where's the first? I missed a whole bunch of them. This is a good thing this podcast is free. There's a mini brawl with tough guys. All of them get 10 minutes. I was just Cassian and Neil taking on all of the flyers there. Cassian actually had one guy's head underneath his armpit, and then the other two grabbed and wrapped around his shoulders. I thought that was hilarious. So all of them got 10 minutes, which was just the ref getting them out of the game. Voracek scores a late one, and somehow that's 2-1. I don't even have the Flyers' first goal in here. So that's that game.
Yes, you did. You talked about it. It was Akeson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a perfect summary there. There goes that one.
What a way to end the home season. Very disappointing.
You know what? I was scared. After this game, I was very concerned.
Oh.
Because we had to play Boston.
It wasn't clinched then, was it?
It was. Well, the playoff berth was clinched, but who we were playing against wasn't determined.
Right.
Washington clinched it. And right. I was petrified of...
Sorry, that's right. Washington clinched Boston. It.
And then I forgot about the possibility of playing Pittsburgh.
Which is even more terrifying.
Yeah. Anyways, all right.
Sunday's game.
Sens at Bruins. So Leonard in, which was a little bit shocking for me, but it was back-to-back. We're cautioning Cassian out. I should have typed these up. What the hell does this say?
Don't forget Matt and Chris in.
Yes, Matt and Chris. They went on a little road trip. Did they go to the Philly game? I know Chris was in Washington and Boston. I don't know if he went to Philly. I think he did. Anyways, he's our lucky friggin' charm. He's actually in Montreal now, too.
Just stay over there for two games?
Stay over there. Yeah, please.
Come back for the home ones.
Yes. Then go back if there's a game 5.
Yeah.
Then come back if there's a game 6. Then go back if there's a game 7.
Maybe you should get him a seat on the team train.
Oh, jeez. I was shocked that they actually took the train, but I guess we'll get to that.
I'm not.
I think it makes sense.
Do they normally take the train? Anyway, I don't know.
They probably are chartered. They probably pay charters for the season.
Yeah, but it's easier to take a train to Toronto, to Montreal, than to fly there and have to get in from
Trudeau
Airport into downtown.
Take you half an hour to get to the airport. You need to be there an hour early, and then it's a 45-minute flight, and that's half an hour probably getting out of the airport, and then half an hour downtown.
You don't need to be there an hour early. You're on a charter.
No.
It leaves whenever it wants.
That's true.
I mean, scheduled time. But
unless you're Emery.
Can we get to this game summary?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We got a podcast going on.
Have we stalled long enough? And can you read your writing yet?
Barely.
Okay.
So apparently at one point, Wierkoch gets beat and takes an early hooking penalty. I've been watching too much hockey, guys. I'm sorry. Zibag gets dumped off the top PP. Trist gets kicked out of the dot, and it's just a wasted 2 minutes there. Absolute Charlie Foxtrot in the crease, and Leonard makes a big stop. Phillips leaves the game. He gets something tweaked. I think it was his knee. So they held him out. This was early in the first two. Just for precautionary reasons, but I think he's fine. I think he skated today.
Yeah, skated today.
First offensive zone chance, and Condra. What? Condra scores. Pretty good play, too. Neil and Lucic go, and Neil doesn't die. Fantastic.
Yeah, he really held his own in that one.
Yeah, he fell down once, but got right back up. Lucic really probably is a top power forward in the game everywhere.
That changed the momentum of the game right there. Like, Lucic was being a real pest to the Sens. And after that fight, didn't notice him as much.
Yeah, he was pretty quiet. Afterwards, I mean.
Anyway, so Horn goes after the first, and then Marchand just runs Carlson.
Yeah, that was pretty ugly.
Now, you notice him afterwards, he was just kind of smirking and smiling. He knew what he did, and he did it on purpose.
At this point, I sent a text to Shredder, and I said, he might be a nice guy off the ice, but man, Marchand is a little, some form of soft expletive.
Weasel.
I can't remember what I said, but
just use weasel.
Hey, weasel.
Anyway, second period.
So luckily for once, Marchand gets a penalty and Carlson doesn't get an even up call, New York Rangers.
It's because Marchand is smaller than Boyle.
Well, that makes even less sense.
I know. That's why I said it.
Oh, boy. All right. Anyways, so whatever. 4-4 goes after an unrelated penalties. Leonard saves the day again. Cowan with a cannon. Now, this is a game of unlikely heroes, with Cowan getting his first of the game and Condra, in my opinion, getting his first of his life. So just finally getting that tertiary scoring. Would that be what these guys are?
So you're calling the third tier, not secondary, but
yeah.
Okay. Yep, that'll work.
I'm on the PK with Kirkner. Mathot hammers Redden, but that didn't really work out because Redden still is good. Apparently, after tonight, also still has the hands, sets up Everly's stick on a 2-1, and then it's 2-1 sends. Third, Sonnenberg with the knuckle puck, and my pants come off.
Okay, please explain this reference.
Yeah, that was one continuous sentence, and I think there should have been a period and a capital letter. Two separate thoughts and followed by an explanation.
Did you ship your pants?
These things just happen.
You were shopping on Kmart.
You listen to that Jane Dan podcast, don't you?
No. But I've seen the commercial, though.
They've been doing that. It's great.
Oh, the whole Kmart thing?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so what was it? That was two goals in, I think, 18 seconds of game time. Just end of the second.
That's correct.
Yeah, because Peverly scored with 3 seconds left. And then Sutterberg scored, I think, 14 seconds into the game. I was absolutely petrified at this point. So then I had to go and rally with my team. Off come the pants.
I really don't understand how this is a rally point.
Yes, but I would like to state for the listeners that Canuck and I were not watching the game with Pan.
Well, I wasn't the only one there doing this.
Did you have a jersey on?
That's the whole... Yes, I did have a jersey on.
Now I understand.
Anyway. The jersey's kind of short, though.
Moving on.
I need something to change my thoughts here.
Anyways, midway through the period, pressure's on, and Dean finally yells out, "Scramble!" I think that was the first time this year that I've heard him say that, and it's the last game of the season. That net presence hasn't been there.
Better late than never.
Yep. I'm missing a boss. Oh, no, there it is.
You're missing your pants is what you're missing.
I'm missing my pants. Yep, that's for sure. So, tie game, couple minutes left. I am terrified at this point, too. I'm terrified a lot. Nervous guy. Because I'm just fearing going to a shootout against Boston with Leonard in.
But at least we get a point if we made it to the overtime, right? So then that would bump us into a Boston.
We're not playing Pittsburgh, but then we're playing Boston.
Boston and Montreal.
Which I still don't want to do.
So not after the beating they put on Toronto tonight, but we'll get to that.
Well, it doesn't really matter because 4 minutes left and JGP! What a goal. Now,
that was
here's
a beauty.
Something we were debating over lunch. Do we release it? Couldn't we release it with the JGP?
Yeah, let's release it. Let's give him one.
What? I have no idea what you're talking about. So
say his name.
Gene Gabriel?
Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, so just an absolute,
what the big deal is.
An absolutely clutch goal by JGP.
I can't believe it's not butter.
I know. Fantastic. I was really wondering why this kid was up, and especially playing with Conacher and Condra. Yeah, they're good. Even we all get it. They're good. Condra's okay. You're growing in my book. 4-2 win.
You forgot the last goal.
That was, oh, yeah. Turris.
Money in the bank.
Empty netter. Whatever.
Still.
No, it's a goal. Not really a soft play either, but you know.
Nope.
There you go. That was a good end to the season. And all the Eastern Conference matchups were affected by this game, except for Washington, New York.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching. And that actually had me a little nervous. The whole, you know, national, in this case, two nations watching this game, right? Sens always do well when everybody's watching.
It wasn't on HNIC. It was okay.
Exactly.
No Heritage jerseys either, so.
Yeah, touche.
Yeah, did you see the video that after this game, I assume it was after, maybe it was before, the Phillips, Neil, and Alfredson took a painting over to Wade Redden?
Yep.
Did you see this?
I saw a picture of it, yeah.
Go on to OttawaSenators.com under the Sens video. I believe it's under the Sens 24/7 section. It will be like one of the newest videos. And it's worth watching.
Enter your bell password.
You didn't pay your bill. Anyway.
Yeah!
All right, moving on. It was a beautiful painting, and it was also a nice thing to do, especially to see all the...
soundboard.
Okay. Let's move on. It was a nice painting.
It was a nice
thought to see all of them with him to congratulate him on 1,000 games.
Where's Zdeno Chara?
Good question.
It was just him and Kelly.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he was doing an interview or something.
Or Dog Evans.
Dog Evans didn't play with Red.
Never played with Red.
True. And
Mike Fisher wasn't there either, but.
Well, Mike Fisher wasn't in the city, though.
Exactly. Anyway, it was a nice moment. Got a couple of questions I wanted to ask you guys about. We were just talking briefly about JGP. 9 games, 2 goals, 2 assists, plus 3, and a 14.65 shooting percentage.
Trade him.
Oh, he's trade bait now, is he? He was a 4th round pick? It was the same year. It was Shane Prince was a 3rd year, I think, a 3rd round. After Sabina Jones. Was he a 2nd? Oh, he was the only 2nd. Maybe Pajot was a 3rd. I'd have to go and look it up. I can't remember. But
I'll look it up as you talk.
Playing awfully well. Well, moving on from there, Condra and Turris play scoring in the last game, and Turris has had a couple of goals in the past few games. It's almost like he's coming around at just the right time. Kind of a nice change. Because he's been, I mean, I'm not criticizing him that, you know, he's been doing the best he can in a role that he's not really suited for. So it's good to see him having a bit more success. I'm obviously feeling a little bit better about himself. There was something on the one of the broadcasts recently, I don't remember which one it was exactly, that they said that there were 7 players on the Senators roster who scored their first, or who had been, maybe aren't currently, but 7 players who have played for the Senators this year who had scored their first NHL goal this season, and that 8 was the record. Now, I was thinking about this, and depending on how you phrase the question, I believe the Senators have tied that at 8.
He wasn't with the team, though. Conacher?
Still on our roster.
But he didn't still score it with us.
Okay.
You can summarize that into there's a hell of a lot of young talent on this team.
Yes.
That can produce.
Can you name all 7? No pressure.
So we're not including Conacher?
Not including Conacher.
So Let's see. Well, we just talked about Jean-Gabriel. Weerkoch, Patrick Weerkoch. Eric Ryba. Benoit.
Yep.
brain fart. Jimmy O'Brien? No, no.
Nope.
No, no, no. Forwards.
You're missing three. Two of which are very obvious.
Zibanejad?
Yep.
That's one.
Oh,
that's the second.
Oh, yeah, he didn't score last year, so... Silverberg.
You're missing one, but this is the obscure one.
Oh, I knew this.
What am I jersey playing? Number? 59.
Oh, Dzerzinski.
Oh, yes.
Well done.
Dzerzinski. Dzerzinski.
Dizzy. Conacher. Yeah, Dizzy. Exactly. Who's back
Johnny down Alphabet.
Oh, jeez.
It's not Control V, but it's not far off. Man, you were involved, you got involved with something on Twitter that I'd like you to explain to everybody, because maybe by then I'll understand it as well.
Whole taking your pants off thing. What the
hell? No, we're leaving that behind. We're not going back to it. Okay, we've moved on.
I could take my pants off and then put and talk about that on the internet. And that's fine.
All right, then. Let's move away from the whole pants thing. No, I wanted you to give a brief explanation of the Sens money on the board.
Yeah, so this is something that Radek Bonk's mullet started off. Really want to get this guy on the show because he's pretty funny. But school called, so whatever. This is it's a collaboration with the Sens Foundation. So what you can do is you basically make a pledge, and you can do it just for a game, or you can have one ongoing where you can choose to pledge. For example, what I did during the Boston game was I pledged $7 for each point that Turris scored. You don't have to make it affiliated with the number or anything like that, because, well, granted, I'm never going to pick Zibanejad.
We're just thinking this.
Ouch, that would hurt.
Then we're going to have to do a download pay thing for this podcast. And after those gamer recaps, I don't think you're going to want to participate in that. So it's a lot of fun. So you can even set it for a reoccurring one. So that way they can kind of keep track. I think they covered something around $1,200 over the first two games, which is phenomenal. Steve Mason kind of ruined a lot of stuff in that Philly game, but yeah, that's all right. I think it's obviously going to a great cause. When you're doing your donation, you can choose just to give it to the Sens Foundation, or write to Rogers House or to the mental health that Alfred's is in charge of.
Oh, okay.
Not Do It For Darren, but another thing in regards to mental health. It's all on their website.
And it's the Royal Ottawa Foundation, right?
So it's all the information is on the Sens Foundation website?
Let's find out. Listen, man, it's first round playoffs. All I do is watch hockey.
All right.
I'll look at that. We'll put a link up on the blog too. So it's a lot of fun. Okay. It ends up being not really double-edged sword, but whenever Turris scores, it's like, oh, okay, $7.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, guys, tonight was the first playoff loss in high definition for the Leafs.
That's not a sad trombone. That's more of a hallelujah.
Oh, well then, let's do that again. Tonight was the first playoff loss in high definition for the Leafs.
Thank you. There was just sticking with the Senators, I got a couple other quick things I wanted to ask you about. CapGeek, love this website, did a top 100 value for money players. And all they did was take their cap hit and divide it by the number of points they've scored. Straight division. So a player making $600,000 a year who gets 10 points is technically worth the same as a $6 million player who scores 100, because it's the same money per point. So we know that the Senators have a fairly low payroll because there's a lot of young players. How many do you think made it into the top 100 in the league?
I saw one name on here that I just looked at and just went, I'm discounting this completely.
Okay. But how many senators do you think made it on the list? Just take a guess.
This season? Probably not.
Is it point per team or point per player?
Per player.
Oh.
We don't have high numbers in points per player this year.
Yeah, but you've got so many on entry level.
Yeah. Still. I'm going to guess 3. Pen? No, wait, 100? Top 100? No.
Top 100 for the entire league.
Entire league. Oh, 5.
Yeah, 5. I was going to say 5. I'll go 7.
You're closer. The correct number is 8.
Ooh. I saw Condra on there and just went, well, whatever.
Condra comes in at number 69.
Hey-o.
$56,880 per point. Number the top senator on the list is Corey Conacher at the number 9 spot, $33,036 per point. But Conacher, Greening, Wierkosch, Smith, Silverberg, Turris, Condra, and Benoit.
That's incredible that Turris and Smith are still up there.
Yep. Well,
quality contracts. Really, yeah. It's just the right amount.
Exactly. They're not making that much money, and for the points that they put up, they're a pretty good bargain. So, yep. I thought that was astonishing to have 8, because there were some teams I was looking through the list fairly quickly, and you might see their name, the team name, once, maybe twice, because some of the teams just didn't. Their players aren't producing the dollars per points that the Senators are. Now, just before we have a guest coming up in just a few minutes, but before we got to that. I wanted to reconnect with something that happened last year that seemed to be a good bit of fun for the folks in the forums as well as the hosts of the Sens Underground. Last year we put together a playoff drinking game because we thought that could be fun. I mean, everybody drink responsibly, so don't do this if you're driving somewhere afterwards. But and I mean, you don't actually have to do this, but just thought we'd come up with some rules if you wanted to have a drinking game during all of our Senators playoff game.
If you're of age,
we give you some rules for it. So why don't we each take a turn reading them? I'll start. And rule number one is you have to take a drink every time Bob Cole uses the generic term, the Sens player, because he can't remember the player's name. Canuck, number two.
Take a drink when Cole mangles Zibanejad, Silverberg, Wierkosch, etc.
Take a drink every time Cole. Take a drink every time Cole uses the term Ottawa Sens.
That's gonna be a lot.
I also just screwed up on his name. So.
Number four, take a drink for every missed shot and take 2 drinks for every post or crossbar.
I like that one a lot.
Uh-oh. We're not going to make it past the first 15 minutes.
It gets worse.
An entire drink chugged after a panel comment about Carlson's injury not being as serious as originally reported came back sooner than expected.
I think we should also add if Healy calls him a one-trick pony, that same thing happens.
Mm.
Ben, you're up.
You better sip your drink at that point.
Number six.
Shot of whiskey when Cole refers to... Oh, my God. that's my real name, too.
Tequila!
So, shot of whiskey when Cole refers to Carlson as Erickson.
Which will happen. Number 7, you have to do a keg stand. You have to find a keg, do a keg stand. If either Anderson or Leonard get a shutout.
Shot of tequila. Woo! After any references to Matt Cook.
Shot of Jaeger for every goaltender interference penalty by the Sens on Price / non-call of interference on Anderson.
Oof. Number 10, you have to do a shot of Sambuca for every comparison between PK Subban and Erik Karlsson.
Uh-oh. And a shot of vodka for every 2-line stretch pass that connects. Every 2-line stretch pass that connects.
Do you want to cut this out and try this over?
I think we're all drunk trying to get our minds through this.
Are they
dressing Wierkosch? Because this could make a big difference on this one.
Was the one that we were texting back and for the other
one? Have a drink every time we screw up reading an email or a note or something.
Just play the podcast over and over again. It'll be fine. I don't remember what we were texting about. I'd have to go back and look. Anyway, so there are people, if they're looking for something to do while the games are on, there's some rules for you. You can improvise on them as you like, but
don't forget.
I think we'll put these in the forums too, because we just totally butchered it.
Oh yes, absolutely. They'll be in the thread for episode 23.
And Cole refers to Carlson as Gonchar too, because 65 and 55 confuse the guy.
His eyes can't really work that.
We'll have to change that one as well. Yeah, well, I was in a hurry today when I wrote it all down. Do you want to talk? No, let's not talk. Let's not talk playoffs just yet. Let's get our guest on the line, and then we'll go talk about playoffs after that. Congratulations! You've been selected to win a free cruise to the Caribbean.
Yeah, right. At first, you know, I saw Palmdale. I'm thinking, where the hell is that?
All right. So after that wonderful intro song, which I just absolutely love, got a longtime listener with us. Listeners, say hi.
Hi, Pan. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great. We've got TJ. TJ. Now, tell us a little bit about how you learned about the Underground and how you got into hockey, because I know you're a Californian guy here.
Well, yeah, I found the Underground in 07, right after the Cup run. About like a month after that happened, I just discovered podcast on iTunes, and so I just typed in the Ottawa Senators, and then this came up, and then I started listening. I went back and listened to all the podcasts right during the Cup run during that season, and then I was hooked ever since. You know, but like I said earlier, Russell, he's very witty and funny, and they were just, those three guys together were great. So I kept, it was one of my favorite podcasts on there. And I had been a Senators fan since 03, since that year that Jeff Friesen made that shot in the playoffs when New Jersey beat. I swear I hate Friesen. And
I'm pretty sure that was the last goal he scored, and he still played like an extra 6 years after that.
The only Ottawa info I ever got was from the Ottawa Sun. Until I started listening to podcasts. So, you know, with technology, it's been great to be able to keep up with everything.
Yeah, awesome.
Now, are you in any anger management classes? You tend to personify anger in the forums.
Well, I just hate the other teams. When my teams are playing somebody, I can't stand them. I mean, you know, I hate when my teams lose. You know, it just upsets you, so.
And I always notice that you seem to be streaming a video from a cafe. So you must have to travel a lot with your employment or something.
Well, yeah, I'm a traveling salesman. So I live part-time up in Seattle, and because I'm up there once a month, and we have a house up there. And then other times when I have to go to Fresno, I go to a coffee shop. And in Sacramento, I spend two or three nights there a month, and I'm in the hotel. So. And you're having to watch, you know, the game on a laptop, and it sucks compared to, you know, obviously watching it on TV.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think of it, because you're up in Seattle, do you think they can support a team?
Oh, yeah, either they or even Portland could. I think Portland, Oregon is even more hockey mad than Seattle is. But, you know, obviously there's more people up in Seattle than there is in Portland.
Yeah, they're crazy.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Now the, you know, the NBA just said that they're going to leave the team here in Sacramento, and they're not going to move up to Seattle, and so it's kind of put a kibosh on the, maybe them building a new arena. So they don't know what they're going to do now.
Mm.
But I do know the guy that runs Microsoft, he's not happy because he was one of the principal people that was going to fork over a lot of money to, you know, to bring the Kings up to Seattle.
Well, maybe you can just do that to bring the Coyotes up instead. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think there's not as much appetite up there for hockey as there is the NBA, because they had an NBA team for over 40 years, and they didn't lose that team because of fan support. They lost it because of the guy that runs Starbucks basically sold to the guys that gave him the most money from Oklahoma, and it's pissed off, you know, obviously a lot of people up there for years.
Oh, for sure. Now, since you're down in the Bay Area, you must have some thoughts on what the upcoming series between the Sharks and Canucks is going to be like.
Yeah, it's a game I'm watching right now. Well, obviously, you know, Schneider's hurt now, but I was already thinking that the Sharks were going to probably beat them, because the Canucks, you know, they've been hurt. Bieksa and Tanev, two of their top D-men, they're still not quite all healthy, and they've been spotty. But, you know, the Sharks made all those trades. They got rid of all those slow guys right before the trading deadline, and they've become quicker. And even though the Canucks were the 3 seed, I thought the Sharks were going to be able to beat them.
I would tend to agree with you. Vancouver hasn't been playing very well for the last little while, and I don't think I think that's a team that's kind of on a decline. They had their time in the spotlight, and now they just don't seem to have it quite together anymore, as well as the whole Luongo Schneider and everything else that's going on with that team. I think it's probably a little lost in their sense of identity and purpose, so I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Sharks upset them, because they've really, I've been amazed, get rid of everybody at the trade deadline and start winning. So not a recipe anybody would expect to be successful.
Well, it's funny, the three guys they got rid of were just, they were slow. And the Sharks got like 6 or 7 draft picks for those guys. So it was kind of amazing what Doug Wilson did there. I really don't know how he did it. It was completely amazing.
Yeah, they definitely probably like stockpiled them up, because I haven't really thought of any prospects that they've really got coming up on the ways that I know of.
They don't have any.
Yeah.
No, so. They don't. They're pretty weak.
That's, I guess. Why, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's why, you know, the window's closing on, you know, like Thornton and Marlowe next year, that's their last year on their contracts.
And yeah.
There's really, they have nothing coming up. Yeah. But somehow they've, every once in a while, they get this. They got a guy on defense now by the name of Matt Irwin, who I'd never heard of. I had no idea he was even a prospect, and he's played well. So somehow they always seem to bring up somebody that you've never even heard of, and they actually play pretty decently.
Yeah.
But, you know, go back to the Canucks real quick. You know, that Mike Gillis is pretty sharp, and he's been signed. You know, a lot of their guys are still in their 20s, but they just can't stay healthy. I mean, they really do. A lot of their guys, they really do get hurt a lot. Other than the Sedins and Burrows, it seems like everybody else on that team gets hurt.
Yeah, like missing Kessler for pretty much the whole year, because he was hurt in the summer and then came back, and I think he broke his foot a couple games in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and because these are the two teams on the West Coast that I follow a lot. Obviously, since the Sharks are here, they're like my second favorite team, and then the Canucks. I like them just because I love going up to British Columbia. But, you know, they both teams, their window isn't going to be open much longer, even though Schneider is young.
Yeah, that's just going to be a thorn in their side. What do you think Vancouver's going to do with Luongo? Do you think they can move him or keep him?
You know, you've got to think, because they're so far up against the cap, if they can't move him, they're going to have to end this team. I mean, I don't think they're going to have any choice. They're not going to be able to keep everybody on their team if they don't. And because he's like a five, he's a little bit over $5 million on the cap. And they really got to move that. I was surprised, you know, that obviously if, looking back on it now, before the season started, if Toronto was willing to give up Kadri just alone, Gilbus was silly for not taking that trade, or even Bozak just straight up. I mean, if either one of those were offered, we'll never know for sure. Gilbus, he kept holding up for more and more, and he kept saying that Luongo was still a world class goalie. But you know, if you watch over the last month or two, he's not what he used to be.
Yeah, no. Now, actually, going back to the young guys with San Jose, that Logan Couture, what can you tell us about him?
Well, you know, now he's their best player on the team. And whenever we, you know, like with whenever we talk about centers prospects, especially Zibanejad or any of those guys, I always go back to what, you know, when they drafted him, like eighth or ninth in 07, and they traded up to get him because they had heard, at least the rumors were here, they had heard that Florida was going to take him, and they jumped up ahead of them. And Florida ended up taking a guy named Keaton Ellerbe, who they've already traded for like a fifth round pick. So obviously, Florida back then still didn't know what it was doing. but it took, you know, it took Couture almost three full seasons to get up here. So that's why, you know, whenever I say something about Zibanejad or anybody else, you know, you got to give these guys time. Because it's not everybody, you know, not everybody Sidney Crosby and comes into the league and just dominates right from the get go. But, yeah, he's now their best player. He plays on the penalty kill. He does everything. I guess you guys saw him there in Ottawa. Was he this good when he was with the junior team there in Ottawa?
Yes. I'm a big fan of the OHL, and I watched him for 3 years play for the 67s. And he was actually, he came to Ottawa because he was supposed to be the number one player in the OHL draft, like to draft into Major Junior. And there was a player who got a special exemption as a 15-year-old to get drafted, and the Oshawa Generals took John Tavares instead of Logan Couture. And Logan Couture fell to the Ottawa 67s, who drafted him, and he played... from the moment he stepped on the ice here, he was very good. And as he got older, you know, as a 16-year-old, he was a little raw, especially compared to playing with 19 and 20-year-olds. But by the time he was 18, 19, he was absolutely phenomenal. And I have to say, I was a little disappointed when San Jose traded away Jamie McGinn a couple of years ago to Colorado. Because those two played together for 3 years here in Ottawa, and they just had so much chemistry that when they were finally reunited in San Jose, I was just, and they started to play well together right away, but then they traded him, unfortunately. But yeah, he really was that good as a junior.
Yeah, because McGinn, as soon as he got to Colorado, he stepped up his game even further. And obviously, I listened to a podcast here for the Sharks, and that's a bad point. That's a they hated that trade from the very beginning. Even though now they traded for Winnick and TJ Gagliardi, and now Gagliardi has been playing great for the last like 6 weeks. Somehow, all of a sudden, he just turned his game around, and he's been really good, getting a shot off and everything. So maybe the McGinn trade will be somewhat leveled out, but yeah, it was a bad trade. So McGinn was good there in Ottawa, also, right?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. They were a lot of fun to watch, game in, game out, no matter how bad the rest of the team was playing. They were always, both of them never took a shift off, and they both played really, really well. They were a lot of fun to watch. That's why I love watching junior hockey. You see these guys before they get to the NHL and how hard they work then.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a bad thing when they traded him. And so anyway, to go on further with the Couture, I would say when Thornton leaves, which after it could be after next year because he's making over $7 million. That I think Couture will be the captain out here, and he'll be the face of the franchise. As soon as Courtney, well, I think Thornton and Marlowe both will be gone after next season. They've both been in the league since '97. So I got it. They both started playing right from the get go, didn't they? Didn't Thornton? With Boston, didn't he play as a 18-year-old?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
They got a lot of wear and tear on them. It's a brutal sport. It's hard to believe, you know, you guys can come back, you know, day after, you know, playing back-to-back games, you know, when you compare it like with the NFL, it's not quite as brutal as obviously as the NFL, but it's close.
Yep.
Guys are tough.
They also play 80 games a year, not 16. Anyway, you mentioned in the note that you sent it, that you sent to us, that the one thing that you really like to hate on, we have to have at least one really good, strong hate comment from you before we let you go. The one thing you really like to hate on is any goalie that plays against the Senators.
Well, especially backup goalies. And Homer gets on me for that now. Well, you know, I mean, that Al Montoya game? I mean, that was just, that Winnipeg game, that was just awful. I mean, you're like, Al Montoya. I mean, was that his only win all year? And it was like a shutout?
That was an embarrassment.
I mean,
yeah.
It does drive you nuts. I mean, it does drive you nuts when they play a backup goalie and they just, you know, when your team can't score, it's just it kind of takes the fun away from a game. You got to score. And it's been like pulling teeth for them to score. I don't know. Do you all feel like that too?
Yeah. I don't mind losing games. I don't like games that are embarrassing. And being shut out by a backup goalie is right up there with losing to the blue team in our own building.
Well, and that's another thing. That, I mean, it's obvious they just do not match up well against Toronto. I don't know what it is. That's another one that drives you crazy. You would think that, I don't know if they get maybe too keyed up when they play them, but you know, it's been like that, you know, through those years that in Toronto, when they just completely sucked and they were bad over the last 2, 3, 4 years, but they still always beat Ottawa. Well, you crazy.
There were a lot of seasons where the series would be split, but there were also seasons even further back where Ottawa dominated them, but never when it really counted. Unfortunately, it's more the blue team fans that I can't stand, but that's because I have to be a lot closer to them, I suppose. I mean, I don't like the blue. Their fans
don't
are just
run in too many.
You're very lucky, as. As Marcus from New Jersey once described them as a hybrid between Ranger fans and Flyers fans, which is probably the biggest insult you could give anybody to combine those two. That's what it's like to be around them, especially when there are a lot of them around. And they're, you know, throwing, you know, spraying beer around and just generally being complete jerks. But anyway, you're lucky you don't have to be around them. That's all we really have to say.
Philly fans are... they're the overreacting fans to everything. And so if a Toronto fan's like that, then they're pretty pitiful. Well, when you watch it, you know, when you watch a game, I mean, the Ottawa stadium is, you know, it's half full of blue stuff. And you're like, geez, I mean, and it's pretty depressing, especially when they win 6-0 then.
Yeah. It doesn't help, but nobody wants to be around them. So more and more of them are there because nobody wants to be around them. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And they jack out the prices. So yeah, all the Sens fans, it's like, I'll take the money instead of sitting through that crap.
Well, I remember last year, I mean, when the other guys were doing the podcast, they were saying, it was just nobody wanted to go anymore. I mean, you just didn't even want to go there and be with those people.
Nope. Exactly right.
Yeah, it's getting real.
Let me ask you this. How come the arena is so far from downtown there?
Well, okay. Ben, you want to answer that one?
Bruce Firestone didn't have enough money.
The original owners of the Ottawa Senators owned that land. And it's way out because it's cheap.
They didn't have enough money. They just had enough to. Hamilton really screwed the pooch with the expansion, so that was a big part of it. A condition of Ottawa getting the franchise was that they needed a stadium because the Civic Center is not big enough. Now, 20 years later, it still wouldn't be big enough, and it's a bad part of it. It's two lanes of traffic; it'd just be a disaster. the prime area, if you know Ottawa at all, it's just, it's really walking distance from the downtown hub. That would have been LeBreton Flats. The National Capital Region owned a good chunk of that. Now they also put in or promised it for the War Museum, for another part of it. And the rest of it's now finally being used to build condos. But the property taxes would be too high. The value of the land was too expensive for Firestone to own. So he bought that farmland out in Kanata, and there was nothing there before. Before one, the tech boom, and then with that, with the hockey team. So the city kind of expanded west primarily because of tech, but I think the stadium helped out there too. But Firestone had to move the team because he's really just a setup guy. Then Bryden came in, but you're stuck with a building. Melnick didn't even want it when he bought the team. He wanted to build one downtown, but Bryden didn't want to get stuck with $400 million project that's just going to sit there and not be used. So he made the sale of the team conditional on the sale of the building. In fact, even at the on ramp or the off ramp from the highway, that was considered a private road. So not only did Bryden have to pay for the construction of the road, he also has to get it plowed and pay property taxes on it.
Wow.
That's something that I think that be the city ended up taking back from, I guess, the team when Melnick bought it because he didn't want to deal with that. So is this no support? Granted, at that point, the economy was real bad, but...
And it's a capital city here, so you're dealing with layers of government. You got federal, provincial, like your state, and then your municipal, and then you have, all these different...
There was also regional government back then, too. There wasn't just city government. There was city and regional. It was insane.
Yeah. So anyways, that's why it's halfway across the world.
Hey, it's close to me.
In the East End. Yeah, that's...
Well, that's anyway. Like with in Sacramento, the arena is way out because of cheap land. And now they're going to, with this new thing, they're going to do it downtown, but now they've actually got, somebody gifting them some stuff. So I guess nobody gifted anything downtown in Ottawa.
No. Oh, no.
And you then they did San Francisco. You don't even want to know what the controversy is right now about the rebuilding of our football stadium to try and get the CFL back. It's a story for another day, but building it downtown would have had everybody who lived in the area up in arms, and this is just refurbishing a football stadium. It's not building a new one, and even that one took about 4 years of court cases just to get it started. It was just stupid, so they had to build it out where it was.
I can't even buy government clients lunch. It's that political, so... Just gifting.
Well, that's like trying to do anything in San Francisco. Same thing. It just takes years and years and years of red tape.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And that's like, that's like out here in California. There's no new football stadiums because you just can't get voters to vote for this. They're not going to vote for this stuff anymore. It almost all has to be private money. That's what the San Francisco Giants did downtown. Here is it was all private money, so they. They just gave them some land, and that was it.
Oh, yeah. That's all of the Canadian buildings is private money.
Yeah. There's no state money. There's no federal money. Yep. It's all private.
Feds tried it once, and it got kiboshed. I think it was the next day. It was insane. And that's when Bryden, I think, was going to move the team. So, anyways, there's your math for the week, I guess.
And we hate that, for the record.
Well, one last thing, and because I know before the series is over, we're going to hate him, and that's Carey Price. Because there hasn't been many times when Ottawa has abused him, and he seems, even if he's slumping, somehow he's going to start, he's going to start making miraculous saves and this and that, and they're going to be screaming on TV about Carey Price. And the other guy will probably be that rookie Gallagher.
He's going to be a pest. Yeah.
That's two guys we're going to end up you know, really hating before this is over, I believe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Gallagher Pan just used the right word. He's a pest, big time. Yeah. He's not huge, but he's a pest. He's what we want Connacher to be.
I was just going to say that exactly. That's exactly right. Oh, and then last thing. You guys, we got to be amazed at Peugeot. I mean, he wasn't on anything's radar. I mean, and now he's playing so well. It's that's really an amazing story that he's up playing so well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going back to that, Colonel. Fourth round pick, 96 overall.
Ah, thank you. Fourth round. He played really well in junior because he played across the river on the Quebec side, but still in Ottawa for the Olympique. And he was a very talented player over there. He's just kind of small. And he had a bit of a slow start down in Binghamton, but he certainly played his way up here. And now that he's up here, I think he's exceeding everybody's expectations. And I hope he keeps it up because he's certainly a valuable asset to have around. But yeah, he's a bit of a surprise for sure.
Well, those guys have done a great job of drafting. I mean, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. I mean, you look it up and down the lineup, and you see, like Griba, it took him, 7 years to get here. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
No, they've done very well.
Because that guy would go back and just look at names on the draft, you know, from like 06, and you just see, and all of a sudden they're coming up now, and you're like, well, how long did, I mean, so it's a lot of perseverance to make it up that, you know, to make it all the way up, being drafted so far ago and you know, like I say, sixth and seventh rounders.
No, really true. They've had some really good coaching down in Binghamton as well, especially this year with some of the players who are quite young, who've only been down there maybe a year or two, and how much they've developed to come up and be as effective as they are. So a lot of credit, I think, goes to Luke Richardson and the staff down in Binghamton as well. They've done very well. TJ, thank you for joining us. It's been a really interesting time to get the perspective from the left coast again.
Yeah. And it's nice to get a voice to the name too. And hope we see Budai next week.
Yeah, and I tell you what, being on the West Coast, it's a sports fan's dream because everything comes on, you know, things start at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're trying to watch the Western Conference playoff games at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, I don't know how you do that. That was so hard.
Yeah.
I remember last year on the forums when Ottawa came here and played San Jose. It was surprising how many guys were on there. There had to be like 15, 20 people on there. And I didn't think there would be hardly anybody in there because it's late.
We're a little crazy, but we like hockey.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, CJ.
It's been a lot of fun.
See ya.
Cheers.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Everything about
thanks again to TJ for joining us, and I'm looking forward to more of his hate for opposing goalies and everything else in the forums. It was good of him to join us tonight. A couple of quick things before we start talking about the playoffs, just a couple of end of regular season bits to talk about. Number one would be Colorado winning the draft lottery. I can't think of a more boring half hour of television than what TSN put together for that. I mean, it's really hard to make it exciting, but it just seems really boring. It's like, just tell us who won it. Let's move on.
Yeah. Just watching Daly flying through that.
Oh, that was dry.
And the thing is, if Colorado didn't win it, and I'm like, and nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly. But they move up from 2-1, and they certainly need help on the blue line. So certainly Seth Jones from the Portland Winterhawks is a very obvious choice. And in some ways, it's kind of good for the Panthers because now they really need forward help. So they Seth Jones is off their list. So now they have to decide between McKinnon and Drouin. And I mean that's a hard choice to make because they're both going to be very, very good players. So
the other thing with Jones too is that he grew up in Denver, right?
Yeah.
In Colorado. Oh,
it's a marketing dream.
Yeah. And they need defense.
Yeah, big time. They have lots of young forwards in Colorado, but they need some help on the blue line. So I hope they don't burn him out by bringing him in at 18, expecting him to play 30 minutes and, you know, make a mess of it. But it'll certainly be the right thing for Colorado. Now, the one thing that I was looking at was Bob McKenzie's overall list, which he combines the North Americans and the Europeans. Sean Monahan of the Ottawa 67s has fallen to 7th on his list, which is not gospel, I admit, but it's usually fairly accurate. So if Sean Monahan is 7th on his list, who's 7th overall in the draft order for this year?
Edmonton.
Yes. Who need another center like they need their head examined. some would argue that.
They really need to trade that pick away, though.
Yeah, they need to trade it down or trade it for
defensive help. You need players. Yeah. It's enough of this. Enough. It is a joke. You brought in a joke GM because you're a joke organization. It's been an absolute joke. Okay, compare Edmonton to Montreal. Even they were able to rebuild in a year.
Well, Montreal wasn't as bad as their last place finish would make them seem. They were rebuilding.
Did you throw the coach there in the microwave or something?
They weren't rebuilding. They were getting Markov back. That was their big change. I mean, yes, they changed their coach and so on, but they also got Markov back, which is a big difference for that team. So Edmonton, Montreal has a lot more good pieces. They may not have the elite super talent of young players that Edmonton has, but they have a better overall mix of players. So, yeah, I hope they trade it away or they do something with it, but don't take Sean Monahan out there. That's the last thing that they need is more help like that. It'll be interesting to watch what comes out of it.
Do you think Monahan can be a number one center?
Yes, I think he can be, but not the moment he is drafted. I think he's like Logan Couture. He's an excellent player. And I mean, I've watched him play on a really, really bad 67s team this year, really bad. And he still, makes things happen in a way that you look at it and go, how did he just pull that off? But if they try and, whoever drafts him tries to make him into a number one center or even a number two center right away, I think it will be his and their downfall. Let him play in the minors. I mean, Logan Couture didn't play all that long in the minors, but he did play a little bit. And then when he started playing in the NHL, he started as a fourth line center and worked his way up. He wasn't immediately put into the role and expected to produce. And that's why he's turned out to be as good as he is, because he was given that opportunity to develop. And if Sean Monahan has given it, yeah, I think he will be that good. He really is quite remarkable.
So we want him to drop to like 15th or 17th?
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Or maybe we could trade him we got lots of defensemen.
Just move up, right?
Well, maybe we can trade Edmonton some defensemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a possibility.
Anyway.
Are you going to tell Brian Murray to make that call?
Murray, make the call.
Thank you.
I forgot what my thing was for that. What else? Murray, make a move.
Make a move. A couple of quick things to look at. The regular season trophies and awards. The Rocket Richard goes to Alexander Ovechkin.
That's a backdoor play right there, right?
And Art Ross goes to Marty St. Louis. He's the oldest player ever to win that. Congratulations to him. President's Trophy, Chicago Blackhawks. And the Jennings. And I think you had something about this. You told me you wanted to make a comment about Corey Crawford and Ray Emery winning the Jennings Trophy.
The Sens missed out on this by 2 goals.
Yes.
Ben Bishop, you're a sieve.
Oh.
No, I'm just
fighting words.
Granted, just
the game in Tampa Bay at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, yep, that one.
That caused it right there. The one that Canuck went to. That cost it.
So Canuck's the reason. Is that what you're saying?
Canuck, give me a Jennings now. No, in the very remote chance Ben Bishop listens to this, I loved you here. But no, that was close. No, on a team that like this, well, geez.
For incredible. A team that had three rotating goalies due to injuries and everything else, and it's all the injuries that were on this team. Yeah, it's amazing.
Key defenseman out.
Yeah, for an awful lot of the season. Now, the big topic of discussion, of course, is the playoffs. I don't want to go through every single playoff series because we'd be here all night, but we should start, of course, with the Senators versus Habs.
Well, I thought you wanted to start with Anaheim-Detroit.
Oh, yeah, because that's a big one. No, Sens versus Habs. Key strategies? Now, what do you think are going to be, I mean, other than Anderson and or Leonard, depending on who's playing?
Win.
Stand on their head. Have to win. This just in.
Score more goals than the other teams.
Score more goals than the other team.
Keys to a victory. Score more goals.
I was going to say that I think that people like Chris Neal and Zach Smith and, you know, basically take a winger off every, or winger or a center off every line to, I don't want to say run, but take a run at PK Subban and or Markov every time the puck is
dumped into their
corner.
Finish your checks.
Finish the check on them hard every single time. Because Markov, not the most physical of guys. Subban can be. He's not huge, but he's stocky. But he likes to agitate, and he likes to be a bit of a pest at times. And if people are hammering on him all the time, he's going to get annoyed. And he's going to start reacting, and he's going to start drawing penalties. He's going to, you know, not draw a penalty. He's going to be penalized for it. And I think that's going to be key is shutting him down. Because you know that the Habs are going to be trying it on Carlson.
Yeah.
And Carlson's a bit more of a level-headed guy. Like, he'll, okay, I can get through this. But he's also a little bit faster.
Yeah,
so, he'll
just get away from it.
They exactly. need to cover the points on the Montreal power play. Because between Subban and Markov, they got some big shots on the point.
Oh, yeah. They also need to stay out of the penalty box. Because we have a very, very good penalty kill, but they have a pretty good power play. So just stay out of the box, and it neutralizes the whole thing before it even starts.
Now, if they keep calling Turris on the diving, which I think he's gotten called twice in a week or two.
Yeah, it's getting
old. Just garbage.
Yeah, sorry.
But if with the Habs, right?
Then they better be calling the Habs divers as well.
You're right.
I think Corey Conacher might be a key in this series.
Yep, he could be. He needs to be. He needs to be the equivalent of Brendan Gallagher.
Yep.
Whatever Gallagher's doing, do that back. Go in and annoy Price. Annoy him. You get knocked down, get back up. Be in there, be a pest, get some dirty goals. There's been a big, there's been quite a topic about whether Wierkosz or Greiba plays. And I'm seeing both of them. And I've wavered back and forth twice now. I started with Wierkosz, then I went to Greiba, and now I'm back to Wierkosz as the one that I want to see. Do we want the puck mover or do we want the big physical guy, especially for the PK? And I don't know what you guys think. I'm still with Wierkosz as the extra puck moving guy. Not the biggest, toughest defenseman in the world, but it gives us three puck movers. So no matter which pairing is out there, there's always going to be a guy who's ready to make that stretch pass.
And yeah, I think
not
so.
Not just for the drinking game, okay? But that's where I'm sitting at the moment. Now, maybe after a game or two, I'm like, okay, you know what? He comes out, Greiba goes in because they need to be paying a bit more of a price in our zone. What do you guys think?
I agree, because I think we are bigger and a little bit more tougher than Montreal to begin with, so it's not like we need Greiba in to even it up or anything.
Exactly.
Or to tip the balance that way.
Well,
I think we're going to see both of them this series. I think we're going to see ebbs and flows to this series. I don't think it's going to be a quick and out thing.
Well, according to Travis Yost, we're also going to see Dan O'Rourke.
Oh, no. It's bad enough. It's bad enough that Bill McCreary is already the supervisor of the officials.
Yep.
If we're going to see O'Rourke, oh, screwed. No. I don't want to. I think maybe Wierkosz and Greiba may be subbed in depending on whether it's a home or away game. It may come down to that too. Like Greiba plays in Montreal, Wierkosz plays here.
Yeah. Or just see how the games are. Because can we outskate Montreal?
Yeah. They're pretty quick. So
if you can outskate them, you go with Wierkosz.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other player I was thinking might turn into a bit of an interesting piece in all of this, and he may not play every game, Is Guillaume Latendresse?
Oh, he's in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's in.
He has something to prove against Montreal, number one. And number two, he is a big, and he's not quick. Okay, we all know that. But he's a big, solid guy who's pretty hard to move away from the net. So if he's crashing and banging up there, and I mean, he does, he's not super physical, but he doesn't shy away from it either. He could end up being a really useful piece to make things uncomfortable. Maybe it might be hard for him to track down Subban, but if somebody else is tracking, he could be coming in from the other side or something. Hard to say. But I think he may play a role that's a bit bigger than what he's been playing up to now.
Alfredsson is known as a hab killer, too. He actually has his most points or goals, or both maybe, against Montreal.
And fantastic. You know he's going to be in there crashing and banging. And he's looking forward to it. There was an interview with him earlier today. I can't wait. I love playing in that building. I love playing against the Montreal. I can't wait for this to start. And he's charged. Like, you could hear it in his voice. He's really, really ramped up for this.
So what's the over-under on the amount of time the opening ceremony for Montreal is going to take? Is it around 15 minutes over-under?
No, I don't think they do that stuff.
Oh, come on.
In playoffs?
They do. They'll have every captain who's ever played for the Montreal come out and pass the torch and light it up and skate around. And
I think that's more the first game of the season rather than the playoffs. I don't know if they're, because I mean, there's so much network attention on these. They probably say, hey, you know what? Get the game going.
Well, my bet is there's no puck drop until 7:15.
No, 7:15 is that's fine.
There'll probably be something, but hopefully it won't be too long that we have to have another warm up afterwards.
It's not like the recognition nights. Yeah, exactly. The recognition nights in.
Which are just ridiculous. I mean, they're well done, but it's, oh.
So you're basically having like an AGM in the freaking thing.
Exactly. So. Gets a little old after a while. Any other thoughts? Any things that you were thinking about that might be going on or key players? Those are
Sends in six.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. Yeah. I was thinking around the same thing.
I don't think it's dark horses, guys?
In this series?
Yep.
I think Ottawa's the dark horse in the East.
That individual players that's going to stand out in this? Mm. I trust my Connacher.
I was going to say, I think the other one who might play a bigger role than he has been of late is Milan Mikolic. Because he seems to have his speed back. His hands are getting back there. He's not afraid to throw a check. Well, he's not afraid to throw a punch because he got into that scrap, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Okay, I've had enough of you hooking me. We're going. So I think he could be a bit of a dark horse if he, you know, in the sense that compared to what he's been able to produce so far this season, I think he may have a really good series against Montreal just by being exactly what he is, you know, fast, hard shot, good hands, can muck it about a bit. Yeah. I think he might be the bit of a dark horse there. I mean, there's so many other possibilities, but I'd throw that one out there at least.
You can't call him a dark horse, but I think Alfredsson's going to have a huge series.
Yeah. True enough. Not really dark horse because we kind of not expect it, but it wouldn't surprise anybody if he did. But yeah. And people, I find a lot of people going, oh, Alfie's 40, you know, what is he ever going to be able to do at 40? It's like, well, let's see what Solani's doing. Let's see what Jágr's doing.
Yeah.
Not the same type of player, but.
Yeah, Jágr gets to play with Doggivins now.
That was a little strange, wasn't it? Okay.
Doggivins, Kelly, Jágr.
Yeah, that's a very strange
mix
up of players, but hey, whatever. Hey, Redden gets 2 points tonight, so anything can happen. Anything can happen. Let's talk quickly about the other series. You don't have to go into them in any great depth. Pittsburgh versus New York. Pittsburgh really put the boots to New York tonight.
Yeah, they don't stand a chance.
No.
I didn't think they stood a chance at all.
Well,
I don't think anyone stands a chance.
I was picking New York, the Islanders, as a potential dark horse, but anybody who goes up against Pittsburgh is probably going to get crushed.
So if Ottawa advances...
Yeah.
Guess who's
next?
Our
second round matchup.
Woo-hoo. That's fine. I'll be out of money after that anyway.
Go Tavares.
Yeah. I think that series is pretty much, we pretty much know how it's going to go. Boston, Toronto. I certainly enjoyed watching an awful lot of that game before we started recording tonight. And I'm really enjoying the way that Boston is. Toronto came out flying in the first few minutes, and then Boston just seemed to thump them. Yeah. And they deflated like a wet paper bag.
Wade Redden.
Yeah.
You know what? This was Wade Redden's first points in the playoffs in 7 years.
Well, hey, I'm pleased for him.
You and know he's going to bring
still
it.
Still longer than the Leafs' lapse there.
That's right. He has actually scored in the playoffs since the Leafs had a playoff game. That's a great stat. I like that. I'm going to use that.
I hope they get swept.
That'd be awesome. But then Boston's
flying. If they get swept, then you can say, okay, the Leafs, okay, yeah, you made the playoffs once, but you haven't won a game in 10 years.
Oy. That could be fun.
Anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not the players and it's not the management. It's the fans.
The fans.
I don't want them to have a cup.
Nope.
And hey, 1923 doesn't count because the team was defunct. Bah.
Whatever. Whatever. Washington, New York.
I think Washington can be shut down, but I don't think it's going to be a lopsided series.
Yeah, I can't pick this one either way because the Rangers have been kind of limping along. They haven't been.
The Caps have the momentum.
These two teams have history.
Yeah, I think the Caps have the momentum on this one. I think they'll probably. I don't know how far Washington's going to go, but I think they will make it past the Rangers. We'll see. I mean, both teams have had some serious time off. Last time they played was Saturday, so when they play tomorrow, I probably have had some time to heal up and everything. So, see how it goes tomorrow. I guess. I don't really have much of an opinion on it because it's Washington and the New York Rangers. Kind of like the Rangers last year. Oh, we're playing the Rangers. What do you know about them? Nothing. I don't know anything about them, to be honest. I don't pay attention to them. Still that way, at least for me. Out in the West, kind of covered Vancouver and San Jose earlier with TJ, so we can skip that one. Chicago, Minnesota. That series started.
A lot tighter than I thought.
Was it ever. And especially with Harding in goal for Minnesota, when Backstrom went down with an injury during the warm-up, I saw that and went, oh, this is not going to go well. And, you know, it was a one-all game in overtime with a backup goalie. I was, okay.
And the only goal coming from Clusterfudge or Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck. He used to play for the Oshawa Generals. Yeah, there have been a lot of... comments made about his name over the years. I'm sure he's heard them all. But that was a pretty exciting game. I have to say that, the excitement for, because it's a low scoring game and it's going into overtime. The same as St. Louis, LA, low scoring game goes into overtime. A little more exciting than in some ways than tonight's Boston win over Toronto. I like the Boston win over Toronto because that was a bit of a put the boots to them, not just a, okay, we squeaked by in overtime. So I'm hoping that the rest of that series goes that way as well. And Anaheim versus Detroit, I didn't watch that game at all. It was just too late. So
I watched it.
Yeah? It was a good game? I have no idea.
Pretty good. Most goals scored on special teams. The Detroit goal was actually right at the tail end of a 5-on-3. So.
Wow.
But I think Anaheim is the stronger team. For Kathy, our listener down there, this is the last time that Detroit's going to be playing Anaheim before they come east. So, did you see your tweet?
No.
Yeah.
No. So, I didn't.
I think it had an expletive in there, but something like, take that, you effing octopus throwing fans.
I missed that. I'll have to go back and look for it.
It's a little early for the octopus, isn't it? But.
Well, Detroit fans will throw that an octopus pretty much any opportunity.
Are you encouraged to bring in octopi in Detroit?
In Detroit,
No. If you're in Detroit and you get caught with one, you're tossed. And I mean, a dead octopus.
And given free tickets for the next game or what? Yeah,
well, maybe by another fan, but not by the organization. No. No, they don't like it.
Apparently, you sneak them in with your kids.
Oh, is that it? I've heard of people sneaking them in like in a bag. Like slid down their leg. I'm like, dead octopus next to my, never mind.
Just kind of.
Thank you.
Just give me a thunder stick. I'll be okay.
You just got, Here, Pan, hop in the stroller.
Is there an issue?
Oh, easy.
Well, no, I was just making fun of the whole commercial, the one guy.
Fine, Cardinal, you go in this stroller.
All right, sure, you go.
What the hell? I don't even know what commercial you're talking about, but anyway. I think that I don't, you know, there's so much that we could talk for an hour on the playoffs and not cover everything. So let's just leave it. We'll have lots more to talk about next week because the series will be a lot further along by then. Some of them may even be over. Who knows? But there's just too much to talk about, to try and talk about eight playoff series in a, all at the same time. So we do have some email to get to before we get out of here. So, man, you're up with the first one from Blair.
Yeah, let's see if this goes any better. All right. So Blair Brown says, email the show. Dear Sens Call-Ups, I'm very polite. I'm emailing you guys to give you my thoughts on the playoff clinching victory over the Caps. That was a Sens typical game, filled with drama, ups and downs. It might be the pop talking, but I feel that the last 2 years of Sens games are even more entertaining than ever, than even the President Trophy win. The way the team plays with grit and determination, you can't help but feel that this core of players are going to be a great entertainment for years to come. But the main reason I'm emailing the show is to say, go Sens, go! Sincerely, Blair Brown. Yep, I agree with that. Because when the team was great, we would I would expect the win. And when we'd lose, I'd be pissed. Now, not so much. When we win, it's exciting. Anyways, thanks for the email, Blair. Who's Indeed. Up?
I got the next one. For once, I get the short email. This one's from Daniel. Subject is being a jerk. And he says, I'm listening. And that's from Dan, who is known as Lalazig in the forums. That's it. That's the whole email.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Yeah. It's good to hear more people.
Ask for emails. Give me an email. There we go.
Exactly. We'll take more of those. Canuck, you're up for the long one.
And I
can go get myself a pint for this one.
That's what she said.
We got an email from Nick Bannard. Loud and proud for the playoffs. Hey, boys. First of all, I'm a big fan of the show and listen every week. Looking forward to some of the great playoff podcasts. Like this one. Yay, we're tired. I made the drive from Toronto to attend the Sens Flyers game last night. Uh-oh. And all week I've been looking forward to how loud the bank was going to be for the last home game of the season. Everything aligned perfectly for this game. Playoff spot clinched. Carlson's triumphant return home, and, God forbid, quite possibly Alfie's last regular season home game. I showed up with a bunch of friends, decked out in our gear, ready to get loud. My buddy even wore a red full-body morph suit, out of the Vancouver Green Man, to get on the big screen and pump up the crowd. Wow. We sat in Section 309, which happened to be right below the Nordiques fans, who came out to the games in numbers. I had no problems with them because they were there for a specific purpose and cheered loudly at the 17-minute mark to protest their team leaving the NHL. My disappointment lies with the rest of the Sens fans in my section and in the arena as a whole. In a game where we had so much to celebrate, the crowd was flat. I've been to a lot of quiet games because, let's face it, sometimes our crowd is pretty timid. But holy cow, we could not even get a proper Go Sens Go in the building. We tried starting an Erik Karlsson clap, 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 clap. And a one more year. Thank you, Alfie. But it didn't get any traction. We stood to salute a shot of Erik on the bench. And after his first shift, we were told to sit down.
Welcome to the team.
My buddy in the spandex suit was running up and down the aisles of 308 and 309 all game trying to get some noise and barely even turned heads. Maybe people are conserving themselves for the playoffs, but I was pretty disappointed. When the team left the ice last night, I couldn't help but think that it might have been the last time I saw Alfie play at home. He deserved a way better crowd. Bottom line, let's bring it for the playoffs, guys. I'll be back in Toronto cheering from home, but if you're paying to see a game live, the team needs you. Be loud. Go Sens go, and as always, Leafs suck. Nick. Well, Nick, I feel for you. You know, sometimes you go to those games, and it really depends on who you're sitting around. And you you can be in a section and it will just be loud and crazy, and you can be sitting somewhere else and it just seems like you're in a library. I mean, that's an exaggeration, of course, but because I actually heard the game is quite loud. They were on the radio, they were commenting how loud the people were, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's what's going on over there?
I was discarding the email.
Oh, okay. Jeez. Creating whole ruckus. No, I agree. And actually, that's something else going back to TJ's point of the stadium being so far away. If that would have been in LeBreton Flats, we've got two universities, two colleges, walk-up crowd.
Also right on the O train to get there from Carleton, or on the transway to get there from U of O.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would have been a lot more energy.
There is no comparison to a regular season and playoff game.
No. Did you guys go in last year's playoffs?
Yep.
Yeah, I was at game six last year, and it was
awesome.
Deafening.
This is going to be 10 times.
I was at game four. Turris scored in overtime.
It was just incredible. This series is going to be that much more. It's going to be nuts.
We do save it for the playoffs here, rightly or wrongly. We really do. It's a different atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. It was loud. I wish I was going to a playoff game because it is quite a different atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. It's what you'd kind of wish for during the regular season, but there'd be nowhere to ramp up to.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If it was that loud. Anyway. Sorry the experience wasn't better, Nick. Next time, hope it's a better one. Because it can be good. It depends on the game. You know, sometimes, I think maybe part of the problem was that some people are going, okay, well, we're already in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's the last home game, but there'll be more after this. So, hard to say. I didn't really have much to say about Twitter this week, except there have been an awful lot of really, really good comments flying around these days. I've been following, just reading things. I can't even keep up with it. And I'm sorry, I know somebody said it earlier today, and I can't quote who it was, but it was too good a line not to repeat. It was in one of the Twitter conversations about Glenn Healy calling Erik Karlsson a one-trick pony. Ugh. And their reply was, well, it's better than being a no-trick donkey.
Yeah, that was awesome. I saw that tonight.
I'm sorry, whoever wrote that, you're a listener. I'm sorry. It was a brilliant, brilliant line. Exactly. Slow clap. That was awesome. Other than that,
I was a little bit worried where you're going to go there with the Twitter comments.
No. The only other funny thing that happened on Twitter was actually something you said to me.
Okay.
It was a tweet that I'd put out, and not 30 seconds later, you texted me going, I don't have to ask who wrote that one.
Oh, you use
troglodyte.
Because I use the word troglodyte. It's like, oh, I know who used that. I know who wrote that one. So, yeah.
It's under L for Leafs fans.
Oh.
Speaking of
troglodytes.
All right, guys. So, yeah, just tell your closest 277 friends. Then we can be up to 1,000.
Ah, okay. Yes, yeah, spread the word.
I want to do that by the end of this series. So tell your friends.
Retweet anything you like, please. Canuck, before you said, I'm sorry, I missed something earlier. There was a troglodyte that you wanted to do something for. I missed that earlier. Do you want to do that now before we go?
Well, we should do it now, and then because it was news this past week, and then it'll be lost. And this was the Cherry comments, and Don Cherry, Coach's Corner on Saturday night, made some comments about women in the dressing room, and caused quite a stir. And, you know, I thought maybe the best thing, let's just take 1 minute here and play what he actually said.
Okay, I want to say something first of all. My good buddy and a good friend of mine, Duncan Keith, is in a little trouble in Vancouver. And the reason was that he was smarty to a female reporter, and it was just said something about you should be a referee or something, and the males She didn't say anything, but the male reporters went a little nuts and everything like that. Now he's a sexist and all that stuff. I don't believe, and I really believe this, I don't believe women should be in the male dressing room. I know, wait a minute, I remember the first time it happened to me, guys are walking around naked, and I hear this woman's voice, I turn around, there's a woman, she's asking me about the power play, I said, let's go outside, and she says, I'm not embarrassed, I said, I am.
Well, can we, and I, you were telling
you, what do you say?
Well, I totally think a woman can be in the dressing room.
No.
I do believe a lot of guys take advantage, and they are sexist. Duncan Keith wasn't even close.
He was
hot about the fact she was making a call, and he was saying,
"Wait a minute, you believe women should be?"
Of course, Don. Like in any job, equal opportunity.
Well, an equal opportunity, then why aren't men in women's dressing room?
Well, they should be. We'll fix that.
You want them to be in there?
Why not?
Well, listen, Carrie plays hockey, right?
Yes.
And she's a hockey player.
Yes.
And she's in taking a shower, right? And a guy standing there, she walks
over. Well, the showers, as you know. But
and women play no smaller
you
arenas.
You can create a nice code of conduct.
Wait a minute.
If they're going to cover Carrie's games, I have a problem.
Well,
but, you know, at the Cassie Campbell Pascal's dressing room, wide open.
Wait, you mean a woman? You want men in the dressing room with women?
There should be, of course.
Well, they're not.
Crazier, but you know.
But they're not.
Let's just agree that as long as there's a professional code, and I think the players violate it all the time.
Well,
guys,
I know.
Having fun, but they go too far.
I know, and the other sports, too, I could talk about it and everything like that. I don't feel women are equal. I feel they're above us. And I think they're on a pedestal, and they should not be walking in when naked guys are walking in, and you know some guys take advantage of it. I don't think it should be.
Well, you get the gist of it there.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a lot of reaction to this, that the guy is crazy, it's his career-ending statement, and...
That was me that said that.
Yeah. first off, Cherry is a controversial guy, and to give him even a topic that a lot of people would agree with, and for him to say it, he has a way of just saying it that gets people off guard. But I gotta admit, I didn't find what he said offensive. I would say it a different way. And obviously people took what he said a different way than maybe how I'm thinking, so maybe I heard him wrong. But you want to start there first, Pan, or?
Sorry, I was tweeting.
Put down the phone.
Okay, sorry.
it's too late.
No, I'm sorry, now it's just blowing up again. What?
Unicorns, go.
Okay, so yeah, with this whole thing, especially in hockey, these guys aren't naked at this point, right? It's like, yeah, they're walking around, maybe in a towel, and even if they are, just put some pants on.
You're the guy who's taking them off.
Oh, I know, but the jersey's big. Okay, if the jersey's big enough, you can keep the jersey on. It's not like the old days. And why should a woman reporter, and there's a lot of them now, especially for hockey, not be allowed to do her job just because she's a woman and this guy won't put pants on?
Well, I think that's the jumping point, right? That Ron McLean was trying to jump on. He took that comment as in, well, women shouldn't be doing this job, and I don't think that's what he's saying. He's trying to make a comment like, just like men don't go in the women's bathroom, women probably shouldn't go in the men's bathroom. I think Cherry's an old guy, so when he went through the league, surely the dressing rooms were pretty simple. I don't know. I'm guessing. So I know when I go to a dressing room at a rink here, it's just a room and there's a shower on the side. There's no delineation. I wouldn't want women in there when I'm changing and stuff. That's just the same reason I wouldn't, you know, we have segregation of washrooms, but at an NHL caliber dressing room, I'm assuming there's, you know, there might be an area where they have their jerseys and get dressed for the hockey game, but you know, the shower area is going to be quite separate. And like you say, there's going to be players that take advantage of it, but that's their own prerogative. They could walk in the hallway naked if they wanted to, right? So but the core of what he's saying, I didn't think was that offensive. I think he was trying to point out that I don't know, you'd think Cherry would know, but he's obviously considering it. He makes a good point. There's no men in the women's, and I don't think that'd be a smart idea either, but
I think that'd be an awesome idea. Well,
from a different perspective, I guess, but I don't know. I don't think it's offensive. I think it's just polite. But, you know, we live in such a media-driven world that we want to get the, you know, the initial reactions of the team right in the locker room. So they've almost made the locker room into the press lineup, right? So we've kind of created this situation where you kind of have to let them in because, they, like you say, they need to do their job, so.
No, unless they do it the way they do it in international hockey, which is where nobody actually goes into the dressing room. They have an area right outside it where players are brought out to.
Yeah.
So make it equal by having nobody in there. Problem solved.
Well, yep. if to be honest, that's probably the safe thing, right? Is just, yep, you know, don't let any media in there. Like, get them, get dressed and come out and then have your interviews, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, or even at that, just because after the game, you have your team time. And Yorkie said it on Twitter, too. It's just there's a separate area for the showers.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? There's a separate area. So it's not like they're right in there.
These are world-class facilities. It's not like...
Yeah, this isn't going to the Bell Arena or somewhere like that.
exactly what I was thinking. Where's barely enough room to do anything private?
Exactly.
There's no room.
I think it could be handled a little better, but...
Yeah,
do you think the players have hot water?
Yes.
I hope so. Yeah, Scotiabank Place. Do they have hot water down there?
Yeah. You do Scotiabank Place.
He did clarify at the end, though, for anyone that was trying to make him out to say he was some sort of sexist guy. You know, I kept his recording right to the end where he actually... You know, he says, I don't think women are equal. And then he goes on to say, you know, I think they're better and all of that. So he's not being a sexist snob here. He's just, you know, he's a kind of the 1950s kind of man, right?
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure there'll be lots of talk about going on about this for a while yet. So maybe we'll get somebody's...
Is drowning his sorrows right now after that game.
Yeah. What are you talking? No, he's a Bruins fan. Do you not see him tonight wearing a yellow and black checkered jersey or suit?
Yeah, he had a blue one on his way in. Then he probably changed it.
Oh, did he?
Huh. I don't know.
I just loved how the CBC guys just turned on the Leafs.
Oh, they were devouring. It was like eating their own young.
Between periods,
they were slaying them.
They're giving the Bruins any credit.
No, they were just devouring the Leafs. It was beautiful. And I was out briefly. I missed most of the second period because I had to leave home for a little while. And I was listening to the radio. And the radio's carrying TSN Toronto. So it's Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. And even they, I mean, there isn't a bigger homer around than Joe Bowen. And even they were getting in on the Leafs about, you know, they're just curling up in their shells. They're not stretching out their shifts. They're trying to get off the ice as soon as they can. They're not playing with any intensity. Look at Kessel, blah, blah, blah. It was astonishing to listen to. It's like, wow, you guys really do feed on your own team, don't you? Unbelievable. Anyway, we'll see how the next game goes. It could be fun. Could be fun. By the time we have our next episode, we're going to have four games into the Senators and Canadiens series because game one is tomorrow, Thursday, May 2nd. And game two is Friday, May 3rd. Game three is Sunday, May 5th, and game four is Tuesday, May 7th. So three games, 4 days, no matter which way you slice it. And this is the only series, by the way, of the eight first-round series. This is the only one that has back-to-backs for game one and two and game six and seven. Some of the other ones have game six and seven as a back-to-back. Some of them have no back-to-backs at all, but I think it's more to do with building availability than anything else.
We're not ruling out a 23.5, though, if we get really excited.
Could be. You never know when we might put out another episode. We're just unpredictable that way.
We're not doing a get-together this time. Short notice, I think.
Oh, isn't there... He doesn't want that advertised, but isn't there somebody driving here for Friday night?
Yeah, well, you can see it. Puddle Duck's
training. Yeah. Well, if anybody
wants to be friends with Puddle Duck...
Easy.
Do we reply to him?
Show.
I told him that we were going to talk about it tonight, and then you were just playing with the soundboard instead.
Okay. Well, if we'll put it out on Twitter, Friday, we'll put it also out. We'll also put it up in the forums. So
we had a suggestion there at lunch. Are we going to mention that or just talk more in the forums?
Well, I think I don't think anything's been ironed out, so I don't want to put anything out until it's been at least a little bit firmed up. So I think we better wait.
That's what she said.
Yes, exactly. Oh. That is what she said. Right. Let's get the hell out of here. Folks, always welcome to get email.
You really podcast. Just got it turned on us there, right?
That's right. I do. Email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. Make sure you visit the forums and join the conversations at sendsunderground.com. There are game threads. There are threads about the playoffs, not just this series, but all of them. Threads about just about everything else as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Lots of interaction going on there. It can be very entertaining at times. And I looked it up during the Don Cherry clip, and it was Mike Kelly who came up with the no trick donkey. I wanted to make sure he got credit for that. I thought that was a brilliant tweet.
Fantastic.
United in red, guys. United in red.
That's right.
With your heritage jersey.
Exactly.
We're not wearing the heritage jersey this series, are we?
No, but I'm wearing mine.
No, they always wear the red ones.
Yeah, they have to wear the red. Yeah. No third jerseys in the playoffs.
And so, I know you might think, well, why are we saying United in red? Montreal is a red sweater. But think about it, that you could spin it this way. That's perfect. So they show up in their red sweaters and you're wearing red too. It just looks like a sea of red. It's like, you know,
except
they're
for
blended
me, a heritage jersey, because I'll be wearing a heritage jersey, not a red one. I don't like the red one, so I don't wear it. Anyway.
And why don't you like the red one?
Because I don't like the logo.
Sneeze, snuffy, 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 snuff. Sneeze, snuffy, snuffy, snuff.
Got it in there. Got it in. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Spargo just walks out that door.
Okay, by the way, guys, that was Labru last week who sent us that quote-unquote voicemail. He actually sent a very official-looking cease and desist letter, too. And he apologizes. English is not his first language. But
it was brilliant.
So it's hard to get the humor across in a second language like that. But he it was funny.
It was great. Yeah. The little hint here would be they sent us a voicemail. We don't have a phone line.
Yeah.
We don't have a rage line. And nobody can send us one.
And lawyers don't typically end their voicemail with a na 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 na. No, they should. They should. Yeah.
Labru, well done. That was brilliant. Really enjoyed it. Well, this time next week we'll have lots to talk about. Hopefully the news is all good. So that's the way we're looking at it. That it'll be a good time next week to see how well the Sens have done so far against the Habs. Till next week. Good night. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back. Good night.
See you.
Bye.
Play the Sens, yeah. And I hit the ice at a half to defend, yo. I pinch hard trying to ham him in, but number 65 blows right by me again. Trying to stop this kid, old man alive. Driving me nuts, man, right offside. How's he get the speed with that stride? I can't catch 65. Oh no, yeah.
thought this kid was out for the year. Hey! It's kind of a shock to even see him here, yeah. To heal that fast ain't even human. And when he hits the ice, he's really zooming. Trying to stop this kid, oh man alive. It's driving me nuts, man, right offside. How's he get the speed with that stride? I can't catch 65. Oh no.
And Carlson with a breakout pass. And we have Carlson here. He headbands Buckhead. Buckhead to Carlson. And Carlson passes across. Gets it in deep. Carlson's looking for who to pass it to. Carlson turns around and Carlson passes it to Carlson. And Carlson passes it back and Carlson shoots. Carlson scores! 6-5, Carlson scores. I thought you were covering him! Nope. Not me. You catch him. If you can. My coach is screaming at me, hit him the worst. And the boys are all saying, God, we gotta catch him first. My goalie goes green when they give Eric the puck. And when he sees Eric coming, he's all like, ah. Trying to stop the kid, old man alive. It's driving us nuts, man, right offside. This kid doesn't know how to shoot it wide. Face it, we can't catch 65. No, no. Hey, old man, you want us to catch him? You get out here. You try. We can't catch 65. We can't catch 65.
Achilles tendon, my ass. Who is this kid?